welcome in Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, David Deal. It is Wednesday. What does that mean? It is hump day. We are your hump day crew. Should we create a hashtag or something?
I think that we can, but regardless, there may be a hump day during the week, but NFL regular season, every day is the best. I love this. It may be only week two, but, I mean, how exciting is it after week one to see how close it's been, how close the parity of the NFL has been? All the Giants fans very excited for getting the monkey off of their back after losing eight straight in the opener against the Dallas Cowboys, going to Dallas, coming away with a huge win, and getting that first W in the column, and now getting ready for the New Orleans Saints for the home opener.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. By the way, really quick, in regard to David's audio, let's make sure that David's audio is great. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
He's good? Okay. All right. Just FYI, I'm not getting you in my. So I just wanted to make sure. Importantly, you're sitting next to me. I can hear you. I just wanted to make sure that our viewers out there can hear you. Fantastic. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Obviously, not only is it just like right off the bat, boom, get a win, but also against the Dallas Cowboys, your division rival. We know how important those games are. I will say this. I was expecting a wider margin. Like I felt confident the Giants were going to win, David, but I thought they'd win by like 10, 13 points. I felt with the talent that's on this defense going up against a rookie quarterback, granted, yes, I know he's got a great offensive line, but a rookie running back in the backfield as well. I wasn't expecting it to come down to the wire. I really wasn't, but you were.
Because all of these games have come down to the wire just like this one. So, I understand what you're saying in that regard, considering the fact that Eli Manning on Sunday started his 184th straight game and Dak Prescott was getting his first. I mean, that stat alone just goes to show you the difference in the amount of reps, preparation, and all the different things that Eli had as his advantage of being out on the football field, other than a quarterback who hasn't seen a Steve Spagnuolo defense during a regular season game, which is unlike anything you face during the preseason. So for me, as much as I think all Giants fans were hoping that it would be bigger and more explosive numbers, getting that win to start off is a huge confidence builder, especially with the tough times and the tough situations during this preseason that the offense has faced, to be able to run the ball effectively, to convert things, and to have time management issues on the other side at the end of the game. So I think all in all, when you look at week one and when you're a player, it may be ugly, but you do not care. You just need to get that first win under your belt so you can build confidence. And when you watch film, you can highlight and see the things that you need to do better and the things that you need to make progress on. But you can do it in a confident way, knowing that you went out, you had an attitude that regardless of what the circumstances were going to be, that you were going to come away with a victory, and the Giants did that.
201-939-4513. That's the phone number. That's how you can get on board with Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter once I get my computer working properly. Hashtag Giants Chat. Also want to let you know exactly what's going on right now. Earlier today, Ben McAdoo met with the media. Of course, you had your show with Paul Dottino on MSG. If you missed that show, you can watch it again.
It's at 2 o'clock. They changed it.
They did.
2 o'clock today, yes.
So, clue me in.
They just, as clue of this me week, in. It is going to start happening at 2 o'clock after practice.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
So that way we can exactly say who practiced, who didn't practice. So this is going to be a change of pace. So at 2 o'clock is going to be press conference live.
Okay, so practicing right now.
Yep.
At 1:30 then? At 1:30, Ben McAdoo addresses the media?
At 2 o'clock he will. At 1:30, I believe the locker room opens, and then at 2 o'clock he will address the media.
Okay. I didn't get the update. I didn't get the memo.
We're putting cover sheets on all our TPS reports.
It just goes to show you how unimportant I am here at the Giants facility. So he addresses the media at 2 o'clock,
yes.
And that's when your show will be as well.
Yep.
Awesome. Players obviously will be asked about this past game, looking forward to the Saints game. one thing I think a really big positive that the Giants can walk away with heading into the Saints game is their ability to run the football. Yes. I know that there was so much talk about the offensive line and concern about the offensive line. Probably the one thing I was probably most impressed with, Dave, was the fact that they were able to run the ball and run the ball in the fourth quarter when they needed to eat time off the clock and keep the ball away from the Dallas Cowboys.
And that is a question that immediately after the game that people were asking me, why did this happen? Why is this so different? It's an attitude of being able to run the football, especially when you know what it means in the fourth quarter to your football team by controlling the time of possession, controlling the clock, and putting points up on the board. But for going throughout the preseason, I will say, it is so hard to get the run game going fully effectively and make it look the way that you want it to, because you know you're not playing for an entire game because you didn't game plan for it. So you know that you're only getting a limited round of reps and you're going to be on a snap count. And also, you'll go in the preseason game and there'll be an 8-man box and a 9-man box. And in regular season, you're not running against that. You are going to check out. You're going to get yourself into a different play. And in the preseason, you're going to challenge yourself. You're going to do things that you wouldn't do during the regular season, because at those times, you don't want to show your hand. You're not going to really show that situational football that's going to give another team an upper hand and saying, okay, this is how they adjusted off of it. So there's a lot that goes into it, but you have to give them a lot of credit for the way that they went out and fought and the attitude that they had up front in order to get things rolling.
I'm watching the game. It's pretty cool. For the first time, get this, for the first time in 10 years, okay, my work responsibilities are over at 11 a.m. on Sunday.
So you actually got to watch all the games.
You have no idea what I did on Sunday. Are you ready?
Look at the smile on your
face. Oh, my
face.
Gosh. Oh, my God. Like, I can't even begin to tell you. Well, a few things. Number one, I enjoyed it immensely. Number two, it helped me even more with my analysis for the week and what I need to do job-wise. Because I got home. So, of course, for the 1 o'clock, I'm watching the Jets, and I'm going back and forth from the red zone. And, of course, I subscribe to the DirecTV NFL ticket. So now on my iPad,
I've got them all.
So, like, there are certain games I'm watching, certain players that I need to put
fantasy,
up some points
yep.
on my fantasy. So,
I
like,
know.
And that's how, remember, I saw you when I first got here. I
yep.
said you did a great job with
Thank
the Atlanta
you.
Bucks game because I was paying attention to that game because Jameis Winston, 4 touchdown passes. Wow.
Four different receivers.
So then 4 o'clock rolls around the corner. Of course, I'm watching the Giants. And during the commercial breaks, I'm going to the red zone. And then I'm a Miami girl. I was watching. So on my iPad, you know, I'm watching the Dolphins-Seattle game. Who knew? They took it down to the wire.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So I just – and before I knew it, now it's – you know, I'm walking my dogs, and I'm getting ready for the Sunday night game. And I look back, and I'm like, man, I've been sitting here watching football all day long, and I love it. I'm so entrenched now, and I'm watching, and I'm a fan. So I go to Twitter in that fourth quarter, in that last series, with just a few seconds, a few minutes left, 4 minutes left. I was just like, put Darquin. I really wanted to see Darquin, and nothing about Rashad Jennings. He had a phenomenal game, ran so great. But at that point in time, I was just like, put some fresh legs in. And I love the way Darquin runs the football. I really wanted to see Darquin there. Obviously, it didn't happen. Again, it was just really cool that it came down to the wire and the Giants needed to eat some time off the clock and they were able to do it this year. So that's great. Looking ahead to the Saints, I know you were working. Did you have a chance to look at some game film in regards to the Saints and the Oakland Raiders game? Whoa.
Holy Drew Brees.
Yeah. Okay.
He came out just like he was in mid-season form from last season. And you have to give a quarterback like him so much credit because – week in and week out, he just continues to prove who he is as a quarterback and why he continues to put up record numbers, because he has them rolling. I mean, granted, they lost the football game, but 28 of 42, 423 yards passing with 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions with a 131 quarterback rating. And look at the Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks had big days. So it's going to be very important for the Giants secondary to bring that second effort and that same toughness and mentality that they brought to Dallas by being able to hold Dez to the minimal amount. I mean, there were some short and intermediate passes that were caught, but I don't think that was more to the players. I think it was more to scheme. But this is one that you have to make sure that you do not let Willie Snead or Brandon Cooks, with the speed that Brandon Cooks has, to get behind the safeties and get back, because we know what it was like last season watching this game between Eli and Drew Brees and the complete – I mean, that game was a complete back and forth, back and forth, back and forth quarterback battle to see who the last man standing would be.
I think I want to say that I want to say it was the most scored total points combined of any games last season when the Giants and the Saints met. And if you played players on both teams, you made a pretty penny on DraftKings.
Oh yeah, if you fantasy, you killed it point wise. So
that's for sure. But so let me looking at the Saints team now, because it is somewhat different. Okay,
yes.
Now they just released C.J. Spiller, which was I think a big surprise for a lot of people. But if you saw the way that they were utilizing Kadett, especially in the passing game, so now that 1-2 punch with Mark Ingram and Kadett in that backfield, Kobe Fleener had an off day.
Yes.
I mean, listen, the Saints were able to put up those points against a good Oakland Raiders defense without Kobe Fleener really contributing at all. I mean, he looked horrible. He looked horrible. And then Michael Thomas, their rookie wide receiver, didn't really get into the mix. It was a heavy dose of Snead and Brandon Cooks. Now, you start incorporating Mark Ingram didn't have a typical Mark Ingram day. It's just the talent that's there is immense, this is really going to be, I think, a challenge for a true challenge, and not to take anything away from Dak Prescott
and Dez Bryant.
but a real true challenge.
One thing when you're going up against Dak Prescott, and a completely different thing when you're going up against Drew Brees.
Exactly, and all the weapons, all the weapons that he has, that the Giants really have to keep an eye on.
And to go back to the C.J. Spiller thing, I read an interesting stat this morning. C.J. Spiller played 198 snaps total for the New Orleans Saints that he got paid $9 million for. So that's $45,000 a snap is what he made in New Orleans. And I know that they were hoping that he would be the next Darren Sproles in that system, but it didn't work out that way. But you're right. They used Kadett in a great way out of the backfield to make some catches, to use it almost as an extension of the running game. Like you said, it's dangerous.
Kind of like a poor man's Darren Sproles, in a sense.
Well, I mean, there's only one Darren Sproles.
That's true. By the way, here's a stat for you. The Giants, 113 – I'm sorry, hold on. Okay, 101 points in 2015, tied the third highest scoring game of all time in the NFL. And the number one – believe it or not, it was 113 points, and that was Giants and the Redskins back in 1966.
Unreal.
Right? You and I weren't even born yet.
No.
And God, that feels so good to say. 201-939-4513. Let's head out to our phone lines. Let's kick it off. We go to Texas. Chris is on board. Chris, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, good morning or good afternoon for you. Good talking to you again, Anita and David. It's the first time, so it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for
all of your efforts in the past for the Giants. Just wanted to give you a few observations for the other day. From the other day, I was at the game, and first and foremost, before the game, it was really, really cool. Giants fans were very energized, yet cautiously optimistic, but the Dallas fans were very, very delusional. I mean, there was so many Prescott and Elliott jerseys out there, and it was actually comical, but in the same sense, I felt bad for them because they're very delusional, and it was fun to see. But the thing that I wanted to bring up, Anita, you stole some of my thunder early. I thought the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, when they ran on 3rd and 12, I agree with you and David. I thought that was excellent. It showed a lot of confidence in the line as well as Rashad Jennings. I think that bodes well for the future. But the one thing that I did want to share that I was really, really impressed with early on, Nat Burhey got the start at free safety, and boy, he put some nasty hits on Ezekiel Elliott over there. And the thought that crossed my mind, I'd like to ask you about this. Rather than picking up another linebacker, is there a way we could find this guy on the field a little bit more often with DT and Landon Collins? Because I had not had the opportunity to see him hit like you do, seeing him in practice over there, but I thought he was nasty, and I loved it. What are your thoughts?
And his nickname, the heat-seeking missile. I mean, he proved it out on the field, and they had a nice rotation in there between him, Collins, and Thompson. So, you know, Coach Spagnuolo is going to do some different things to tinker with the which way he can use all three of those players and maximize them, but not ask them to do too much. You still saw, which I still continue to see, Landon Collins continue to make improvement. Granted, he still has his issues in coverage, but second on the team in tackles, and he's only going to get better and better. I think he's transitioned and made the biggest jump from his first year to his second year that a lot of guys don't really do. So it's awesome to be able to see that and to have a Nat Burhe and a Thompson to be able to have that type of system where Steve Spagnuolo, we all know, will find ways to use all three of these players.
Chris, thank you so much for the phone call. Really do appreciate it. And I know Burhe started.
Yes.
But we did see Thompson. We saw him kind of get in. And what I liked about what I saw is that he was just always around the ball.
Yes.
Like you can just see his ball hawk.
You saw team hustle.
Yes.
You saw people flying to the ball and swarming to the football. And that you know what? I've always said as an offensive lineman, I would always go get my running backs and my wide receivers out of the huddle and out of the pile, because one thing that any person will tell you, any skilled position guy, that if they continue to look up and they continue to see the other team's defense on top of them, around them, swarming to them, it gets to them. It starts to wear on them, and you're starting to see that with the hustle and the play that Steve Spagnuolo is getting out of his defense.
201-939-4513. That's the number. That's how you get on board. We go to Bloomfield. Bob wants to join us. Bob, you're on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. And I wanted to just mention, I was listening to you about Breeze and the weapons that they have on offense and stuff. And the only thing I wanted to ask Dave what he thought about, you know, the fact that he played. But the third down conversions by Dallas were pretty high. Like that, it seemed like our defense wasn't getting off the field against Dak Prescott. And Drew Breeze is another level. So those could become touchdowns instead of field goals on Sunday, if they aren't able to stop them on third down, you know, and they keep converting. The other thing, the time of possession, if that continues, like, to be that lopsided in favor of the visiting team, the Saints, like, it wears the defense down a little bit. So I was just wondering what you thought about that intermediate coverage, like the linebackers. Guys seem to be getting pretty open. And Drew Brees is another level. Like, so it's not a negative. I'm a Giant fan for 40 years. I've done nothing, and they look great. The win was fantastic. But I just want to keep it in perspective. Like, they did beat us on third down conversion, time of possession, and they did win the total yardage by a little bit. So with Drew Brees coming in, they got to make a little bit of a difference there, because he's going to get touchdowns instead of field goals. You know, he's a whole other level than Dak Prescott. And I wanted to know what Dave thought about that, if it was something the Giants – were missing, where that guys were becoming that open on third down, or what do you thought?
Bob, thank you for the phone call, and it's a great question. This is a conversation I had with Paul Dottino after the game, and that was what you saw is you saw the Giants defense and special teams put Dak Prescott and this Cowboys team way back. Their starting spot was to make him go 80 yards,
yes,
to make him go 85, 90 yards to score that touchdown, and I think that's where the time of possession was a little misleading in regard to, because he had so much ground to cover,
yes,
and he was hitting those short little intermediate passes with Beasley, who, by the way, is a great pickup this week in fantasy football, because obviously that's who he's going to.
I know.
That's who he's that's his comfort level. Him and Jason Witten. That's quick, short. But the time of possession, I think, is a little misleading in this matchup. I'm curious if you agree with us or not.
But at the same time, when you think about that, even if it's misleading, you still have your defense out on the field for more than half of the game.
Right.
I mean, that is the biggest thing, that as an offensive player, not only are you thinking that way to control the time of possession so you can start wearing down defenses and defensive lines and front sevens, you know, in the third and fourth quarter by having them out there and keeping another quarterback like a Drew Brees off of the field, which they're going to need to do. But the biggest thing you think to yourself is, let's put our defense in a favorable position. And how do you keep your defense in a favorable position, or a favorable position, is by being able to keep them fresh, keep their legs underneath them, so that they can attack the quarterback, and so that they can create those plays that where they get takeovers and takeaways from the field. And third down, you're right, third down is, you get people off the field on third down, that's a punt. It's a change of down, and that is the exact way to think about it. So you're right with your thinking, and it's going to be crucial for this football game, considering you're going up against a completely different animal when you're talking about Drew Brees.
And let's give credit where credit's due. Dan Bailey is a beast.
He's a
He's unbelievable.
Yes.
And a kicker that I got in the 16th round of all my fantasy leagues. So he put up 23 points for me this week in all my matchups. But who's the field goal kicker for the Saints? Do you know? You have the information. 2019. I'm just throwing it out there, and that, you know, I just in regard to consistency and just being Mr. Automatic, you know, I don't think that there's another
Will Lutz.
Okay. Yeah. Never heard of the dude. I don't know about you. I haven't.
I have not either. That's
okay.
Why I just had to look up his name.
201-939-4.
That's his first year. I know that.
4513. That's the number to get on board. Anita Marks, David Deal with you every Wednesday here coming to you live from the Giants facility. And again, just an update. Time change that I just became aware of as well. Giants are practicing right now. Ben McAdoo will make himself available to the media around 2 o'clock. At that point in time, David Deal and Paul Dottino will host the MSG show that you can watch into. And, of course, it's the press conference live show. Players will be made available to the media. See, now this is where it gets tricky. This is what I don't understand. So players are going to be made available to the media at 1:45 today. So how's the media going to be in two places at one time?
Great question.
Yeah. What's more important?
Body doubles.
We're
just cloning reporters now.
What's more important, Ben McAdoo or? And I think is today the day that Odell speaks, or is it Odell and Eli? They're not going to miss that. They don't. Media only gets one. What is it?
Eli talked yesterday.
Is today? Today is Odell's day. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Ben. Odell Ben.
I mean,
come on. It is what it is, right?
Yes, it is. The great ones adjust.
This is going to be interesting today. All right, 201-939-4513. Let's go to line 3. We have Conrad calling in from Manhattan. Conrad, you're up.
Hey, guys. Look like I'm lucky because every time you guys host a show, I get to call in and I get through. Awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. My in-laws did not show up, so that was great. I had a great time on Sunday.
Oh, I remember. I remember your call. You were gonna like lock the in-laws out during.
That's right.
During game time, or at least kick them out. Up. It's 4:20. Kickoff is in 5 minutes. You gotta go. You gotta leave right now. That's right.
There were no shows, so they're great sports. I love them for that, so thank you. So one thing I looked at the defense this weekend, this past weekend. I was happy with what I saw, because I think in the past we would have lost that game. And I am concerned about the three and outs that we're not capable of getting. But I think, you know, a different team that we're going to play the Saints this week, and the Saints haven't been able to come and put up a lot of points in MetLife Stadium when we've played them in the past. But every time we played them in a dorm, it would be a shootout, or we'll get blown out. But for some reason, I just don't see them coming in and blowing us out the water this weekend coming up. I did like what I see as far as Sterling Shepard. The only on that interception, I give Eli a knock, but at the same time, Shepard, you know, he gave up on the route as well. He didn't fully came back. If he fully comes back to that ball, he'll have a play to make on it. He can knock it down or at least prevent the interception from happening. But on that play, I didn't blame Eli too much for that. What are your thoughts on that, Anita?
I think a lot of times And thank you for your phone call. I think a lot of times, and you would know this, Eli Manning, especially in Kevin Gilbride's offense, Eli Manning would get criticized for so many. Remember that 1 year he had 17 interceptions?
Oh, yeah. And, I remember it quite distinctly. Yes, and there's a part there. Yeah, I do remember
so
that.
So if Aditi Kinkabwala at that point in time was actually covering the Giants, she's now with the NFL Network. I'm sure a lot of people can tune in and see her every Sunday morning. She sat down and went through every – she went back that year and went back and that every
watched every interception
and sat and watched it with a coach. She, and it was an article that she wrote. I want to say she was working for the Wall Street Journal at the time.
Okay.
And she watched it with a coach, and it might have been Gilbride, might have been wide receiver, who knows. And so she sat down and went through, and like out of the 17 interceptions that year, like maybe five of them
were his fault.
Were Eli's fault. The other what, do the math, Anita. The other 12 were Reuben Randall running the wrong route or some, you know,
whatever it was.
I think that happens a lot. And I think I think it's the fans' first initial reaction to be like, oh, Eli, come on. But then when you go back and you look at the play and you see, all right, well, maybe he didn't run the comeback route. Maybe it should have been a five and out, not a five and in. It, you know, and let's keep in mind, he's a rookie. This is his first NFL game. I'm sure he was a little nervous, whatever the case may be. So,
but I think that speaks volumes about who Eli Manning is as a person, as a quarterback, because a lot of quarterbacks in the league, if they throw that pick and it's not their fault and the receiver runs the wrong route, they're throwing their hands up. They're calling him out. Eli is
kind of like his brother used to do.
Eli's always been a team right? guy where if he does throw it and it's the wrong route or whatever it may be,
right.
he'll be the first one to pull you off to the side and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what you're supposed to do. And he gives you that ability to bounce back from it.
Right.
Where he doesn't let that emotion completely take him over, where he is going to individually call out somebody live. I mean, you see him when he misses throws or does things because he's accountable to himself. But he, throughout the entire time, never do you hear him throw anybody under the bus.
He does this, the rolling of that, like, oh, Eli. He does that, yeah.
The hands, yeah. Yeah.
And he does his face.
Yeah, but it, like I said, it speaks volumes for who he is as a quarterback
right.
and what the team means to him.
Right. No, so true. 201-939-4513.
I got one here. I'm going to answer a little Twitter.
You are?
We have E the Chosen One. Obviously, he's talking about the game. This will allow our newly revamped defense to show exactly what we are made of. ? No excuses Sunday. Agreed. Matchups up front are what we're going to love to watch. Olivier Vernon versus Teron Armstead, the left tackle of the New Orleans Saints. This is going to be a great one to watch. And JPP, I went back and watched the game like most people do, but I went back and watched it again, and he is getting back to his form. You know, he's not worried about having anything on his hand. He's playing, but his transition from one move to the next, hand swipe to an outside dip and bull, he's taking his game to another level.
Let me unfortunately, JT Thomas is done for the season. Apparently,
yes.
Giants are reporting that he has some ligament tears. So, in regard to the linebacking core, as I said, Kobe Fleener did not really contribute to the Saints this last game against the Oakland Raiders. But you know what kind of tight end he is. Could he have a much different game? Also, we were talking about Kadett, those short intermediate passing routes that he's going to be running.
He's going to be facing one-on-ones against linebackers.
So my question to you is, I do believe that Casillas is our best coverage linebacker.
Agreed.
Okay. So the importance of Devon Kennard stepping up. I mean, you know, are we going to see Keenan Robinson get a little bit more action now?
For the linebacker position as well, it's going to be very important to make sure that coverage and responsibilities are dealt out to that linebacker crew, because you know that Drew Brees is trying to use that as a weakness, not having JT Thomas out there, and they'll use those short intermediate routes to Kadett, to Colby Fleener, to just open up and stretch the field for the long balls for Brandon Cooks and Snead.
Some more tweets. Again, hashtag Giants chat. This is from AJ. He wants to know, what do you think about the Giants color rush jerseys?
Awesome. I love the all white like that.
And they're kind of a little throwback, too. It's a mixture of a little rush and throwback.
With the old red and blue collar with the white jersey, I think they're ridiculous. And those are jerseys that I personally would have loved to have worn when I played.
So, all right, let's continue with your calls. We go to Chris calling in from New Jersey. He wants to talk about the Saints matchup. Chris, you're on board. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how's everybody tonight?
Excellent, Chris. How about yourself?
I just want to say thank you to Giants.com for allowing the fans to call in, and your whole entire staff and everybody does a great job to allow us to do that. Thank you. That's number one.
Well, thank you for participating.
David, dear, you're one of my favorite players. You always gave 110%. I want to thank you for that and winning some championships for the Giant base. Thank you very much. The diehard Giant.
Greatly
base.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much for all the support throughout the years.
Okay, you need it. Today you're going to have to scramble a little bit and get the press conferences. You're going to have to run around a little bit today, okay?
Yeah, obviously.
You'll get everything in.
Obviously, I don't.
So he's got confidence and faith in you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I got. A lot of guys stole my thunder already about JPP's play, the nose tackles, and the way our defense has really shaped up. So kudos to the defense. I really appreciate it. I think Eli Manning was just really magnificent in the time that he was allotted on the field to really do what he did to win this game, and having our receivers really make some really nice catches. But I'll tell you a little story. I went down to Florida over the week. My father had celebrated his 87th birthday on Friday, and the Dallas game was a national game. And my father and my uncles, going back to the 50s, being Giants fans, it was nice to sit down with my three brothers and my father to watch a Dallas game and the Giants win. And it was the biggest birthday present my father could ever gotten, sitting with his boys and just watching a Giant win. It made my whole weekend. But I will say this. On paper, there's no more on paper anymore, Mr. Deal. It's all about going out and doing what you need to do out there. And I really believe that this team is going to go places. And I really think they're going to get better and better, and they're going to face some more adversity down the road. And this game, even, you know, it's always about who gets on the field. Am I right or wrong, David?
100%.
Okay, so all of this father that you want to hear and all of these analysts you want to hear, you know what, it's man-to-man, it's doing your assignments, and I thought the offensive line did fabulous. And I just want to say, we played New Orleans already. It's going to be some nice matchups. It's all about physicality and doing your assignments and staying in your lanes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if we do what we're supposed to do, we can win this game, Dave. What do you think?
I agree with you, but the biggest thing that you have to do in order to win this game is make it as uncomfortable as possible for Drew Brees. And it's not just by the defensive ends, because Drew Brees is a quarterback that he has the ability to evade defensive ends. But where the pressure needs to come is down the bow of the pocket. He is not a tall quarterback. Mm-hmm. And if you can get that press into his face where you're pushing back the depth of the pocket, that's where he has that little tip. If you see, sometimes he throws, he does that nod so he can see over the. That's where things break down and where he will throw the interceptions mm-hmm. and get the takeaways mm-hmm. that you need to on the defensive side of the ball.
So we have a couple of guys that we could pressure him and get in his face anyhow. And I think it's not going to be a high scoring game like last year.
I don't think it is either.
You know, so we're on the same page. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Go Giants. Let's go 2-0. Let's win this game. And I love talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. I'm curious because that's a lot of people aren't aware of that. That's like a really big key with Drew Brees.
Yeah, because he has to tip his hat to see so he can
he'll,
see over
he'll
the
fake,
offensive
He'll fake pump, but yeah. but as soon as you
that
see him,
glance so
as soon as yeah, as soon as you see him
line.
Do this, you know that's when he's launching. And aren't you surprised he's not picked off more because of that tick? I'll call it a tick.
Yes and no, because he does a great job of looking receivers off, making safeties move to one side or the other. And he's been doing that his whole life. I mean, that's how he has played as a quarterback.
But if I'm a DB,
he'll pump fake and he'll give the head too. So,
not like he does when he launches. No. So I'm curious, and maybe that's a question for the locker room today with some of the DRC and Eli,
his head and how yes. he looks up, and yeah, that's part of the scheme of when you're evaluating individual players and breaking them down. One by one by one, are those tendencies or are those tells ones that you can track and say, okay, this guy's inside foot is back as a defensive end. He's going to make a move off of this or that. Those are things that you break down and study as a player so that if you get in the game, when I was at left tackle, the first thing I would do is identify alignment and feet, because then you can pace yourself on your set. Is it going to be a three set? Is it going to be a five set? Am I going to initiate the fight here? Those are all things that are like the little keys in chess match of playing in the game of football.
We opened up the show and we gave the Giants a lot of credit for the way that they're able to rush the football.
Yes.
Okay, and that was obviously a big topic of discussion heading in. What was your analysis in regard to the pass protection?
Pass protection was good. There were still breakdowns a little bit here and there, but I think overall they played well. And you're going to hear Giants fans. They did not have their two premier pass rushers because they were suspended. But do you really make that excuse at the end of the year when you win a game and you're like, you won the game, but, you know, this guy was hurt, this guy was hurt. It doesn't matter. That's the whole point of playing in the NFL, is being healthy and having your best players out there. So that's not an excuse. They still went out. They got it done. And for this group, the continuity will only continue to get better and better. And for a lot of people, I know a lot of people speculated about the right side of the line and everything. Number one, at the end of last season and now after the first game, John Jerry's been the best offensive lineman on the field. Last year he finished that way, and he started off, he played extremely well against the Dallas Cowboys, and Newhouse played very well. So it's going to be a continuing process. Once again, we're going to see when it's a loaded front, when they have more talent, where there are going to be more one-on-ones up against premier pass rushers. But for the opening start, for the attitude bouncing back from the way that things went in the preseason to going on the road and running the football this way, it's only a jump start for things that can happen. But we all have to wait and see how it will continue to take place week in and week out, as long as they can keep that not continuity and keep all five guys out there and nobody gets injured.
What are your thoughts on Will Beatty? I mean, is this going to be a big week for him to come in and kind of – because, again, we know that the thing is he's not in football shape.
Yeah,
how many weeks does it take to get into football shape? Is this a week that he can possibly go out, prove to the coaches that he's worthy of suiting up on Sunday against the Saints?
I understand exactly. That's why they brought Will Beatty in, not to mention his ability to be a versatile player, to play different positions, especially to be a swing tackle in case somebody goes down. But to start off, you don't want Will Beatty to go in, because that means your offensive line is continuing to make the progress in the direction that you need it to make. But having that competition is continuing to push the guys up front to work even harder to maintain their jobs. One of the things that I said, that people may think I'm crazy or not, but at the end of the game, where did you see Brett Jones at fullback? If you look around the league, where do a lot of teams go? They go 12 personnel, two tight ends, and one of them is a jumbo offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Start integrating him into the offense as a jumbo tight end.
Right.
Will Johnson, he's on injured reserve. He was going to be the best blocker. This is another way to ensure that you can edge a defense at the point of attack and get those outside zones and the sweeps and stretches to open up your running game even more.
Right. 201-939-4513. We head down to Atlanta, where this guy was on Sunday. Dre, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's going on, Anita? Hey, Dave, how's it going?
What's up, Dre?
Not much. I'm going to tell you, you know, thinking about last year, the shootout, the glaring difference between that game is we had actually no pass rushes, and we didn't have defensive line putting their hands up, knocking down passes. Now, with the push coming up the middle, and you have JPP and Olivier hitting the edges, you know, what I see is probably more screens, but I saw the way we blew up some of the screens. So I think our defense should be looking for a lot of screens if we're not giving Drew Brees that time to throw down the field. What's your take on that?
Great point, because you're exactly talking about what any offensive lineman will talk about, is you want to slow down a pass rush, you want to slow down penetrating one technique guys who continue to get upfield and play the run on the way to the quarterback. The most effective way to do that is to get an effective screen game going into that, so they have to take a second guess. Is the back chipping? Is he releasing? It just slows down the timing of either rerouting or making a defensive lineman second guess about getting all the way upfield. And the other thing, like you said, about getting the push in the pocket. And here, I'm going to do a little diagram.
Is this
here.
A We're diagram? Man, yes. We should have a whiteboard
here
back
go.
Here.
That... So you have offensive lineman, Drew Brees, quarterback,
right.
Number nine.
Uh-huh.
So you're talking about the arc of a quarterback.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to give the little arc. You talk about center, guard, and the both center and guards, the depth and the width. So if you're giving up pressure down the bow of the pocket, the quarterback has nowhere to go, and it goes right into the flow of the defensive ends in the outside. If you don't get this push up front, it doesn't matter if you're getting these DNs outside.
Because he's going to step up.
Because all he's going to do is step up. Yep. That's the biggest thing that you can do. Guard centers, depth of the pocket, tackles width of the pocket. So if they can get that press, number one, you're going to get either Drew Brees to step back and back up right into the flow of where the defensive ends are coming, or that push is going to get right into his face where he's not going to be able to step up, deliver, and see his receivers like he needs to accurately.
You get pretty excited about this.
Have
you ever thought about coaching?
You know what? I still love grinding. I love what I'm doing now.
Oh, man. That was
This is my last point. Now, looking at our offensive line and looking at and watching the Raiders game, it seemed like that they pretty much contained Khalil Mack. So my question is, do you see more of a NASCAR type of defensive line, considering the fact that, you know, this is a passing league, Drew Brees is known for the pass, and maybe you take Hankins out and put Kerry Wynn in to actually bring that pressure up the middle, and I'll take your answer offline. I appreciate it.
No, and that's what you continue to see, the evolution of the game is taking a defensive end and moving him inside at a guard and having another defensive end on the other side who's a premier pass rusher, because what it makes you do as an offensive line, it makes you pick your poison. Are you going to create the one-on-one for the guard? Are you going to slide protection to the defensive end? And it just allows more one-on-one matchups where quick twitch defensive ends with good hands can win at the point of attack up against a offensive guard who is used to jump setting and being more aggressive and not having as much space up against somebody who has those type of moves. So that is definitely something that you can see is movement up front, putting people in favorable positions to win those matchups, to be able to make it a long day for the quarterback and make him change his launch point.
All right, AJ wants to know, Brett Jones, will we see him play fullback a little bit more?
I wish I was in the playbook, but, I mean, if you saw him come in and he did well, you never know. It's with Nikita Whitlock out, not having a fullback. I mean, this is one way that they can do things to make sure that they get an insured block up front to not let any penetration, because the minute that happens, it makes a running back take it backside the minute he sees color.
And the chosen one, the chosen one wants to know what matchups will...
The chosen one's getting a lot of love.
Yeah, he does. What matchups? Well, give me the one matchup you're going to be looking most closely at.
Well, the edges. You know, you look at the edges versus Teron Armstead, the left tackle, versus Olivier Vernon, and then Zach Strief at right tackle going up against JPP. These are two pass rushers that are going to have opportunities to win their one-on-one. Teron Armstead just got a huge contract and was playing well, but he's playing with the knee. So we'll see if these two can make the difference that they need to make on the outside to make it a long day for Drew Brees. But like I said, having those guys on the outside is only going to help by the rotation of being able to slide and get that pressure down the bow of the pocket.
Your thoughts in regard to the wide receiving core, you know, as a fantasy analysis, you know, people went out and they drafted Odell Beckham Jr. like one or two overall.
Yep.
But this was the big question mark coming in is now, you know, last year, Odell, he had Dwayne Harris and Reuben Randall. This year, he's got Victor Cruz, who now we know Eli Manning is going to target him, especially in the red zone, and Sterling Shepard, who got a lot of targets as well. And as you know, defenses come in. They play the Odell Beckham defense, and they shadow him. You know, so, I mean, your thoughts on this wide receiving core, I mean, is it going to be a more evenly distributed target ratio than just Odell getting 18 targets a game?
Well, it all depends on the production of Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard when they get their one-on-ones based upon bracketing the coverage to Odell Beckham Jr. But the things that you can do as an offense schematically is motion to put people in favorable positions, not only so that a defensive back can't press at the line of scrimmage, but to dictate what coverage you think that you're going to get that tell. But two, put Odell Beckham Jr. in different spots. Put him in the slot. Put him outside. Put him with the tight end. So you can adjust the coverage and adjust your routes based upon how they're going to cover Odell.
So I'm assuming you watched the Pittsburgh Steelers-Washington game.
Yes.
And Antonio Brown just
he's a beast.
He's sick. He's just absolutely sick. And so there was so much criticism about Washington and their defense, and you know, don't understand. You bring in Josh Norman, you pay him all this money. Like, why didn't you have him blanket Antonio Brown? And I was working up in Bristol yesterday, and I spoke to a number of the analysts up there, and a number of guys up there just feel like it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. Josh Norman, like, they don't think that there's anyone in this league that can shut down Antonio Brown. Do you agree with that? And do you criticize Washington for not creating that matchup with Josh Brown, just following
Josh Norman,
yes, following him everywhere he goes?
I mean, you could say that, but the fact is that how often do we see just Josh Norman just moving all over the field?
Not often.
Don't see that often.
Even when he went up against Odell last year,
exactly.
It wasn't 100%.
It wasn't 100%.
Right.
So it's not like it takes place every time. And like I said, Antonio Brown, you hear him and people, he loves going into the slot because it gives him so much more room to operate, where you don't have a defensive back playing inside leverage using the out of bounds as another defender by trying to reroute him so he has to run the hump. So those are things that you definitely do to open up things. And like I said, those number one receivers, a lot of times they love being in the slot because you have so much more room to work.
And I bring up the Washington-Pittsburgh game because we're just 2 weeks away from the rematch. And there's just all this hype about Odell and Josh. Chances are it's going to be the same situation that you saw with Antonio Brown in Washington.
They make adjustments off of week one moving forward, which when you lose, that's exactly what you do.
Right. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason calling in from Denmark. Jason, you're on board.
Hey, how you doing, Anita?
Hi. Are you like Denmark, like not even in this?
Yeah, not even in the country.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Scandinavia.
So what's your time there?
Right now it is 7:30 at night.
Oh, okay, not so bad. Well, welcome in.
Not so bad.
Welcome in.
I was loving the 10 o'clock days.
Hopefully, I'm sure you were. Hopefully you're enjoying your evening.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hey, I have a question or two, and then a small suggestion, if you could entertain me.
Mm-hmm.
So the defense stayed on the field pretty long, and I was so happy come third quarter, fourth quarter, not to see people catching wind and walking slow to the sideline, because the whole time I'm looking at that clock and seeing how they're on the field, and I'm like, man, they're going to get tired in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. They're going to be dead. But they hung in there and they did the first. Do you think that they, you know, they're going to be other teams that try to do what Dallas did? So of course we want to get them off the field. Could we do that again and again and again?
I mean, that's definitely what we're going to have to see looking forward here, especially when playing up against Drew Brees. Like I said, it's Dak Prescott and Drew Brees are two completely different football players, and Drew Brees is going to be a Hall of Famer because of his ability to dictate things at the line of scrimmage, make fakes, do all different signals and fake things at the line of scrimmage if you allow him that time. But in regards to the defense, I think it's just a sign of who they are as a team and what they're trying to do. Talk about leadership. I put a video up. I just looked up on my Instagram on July 31st. After practice, after everything, I look outside, and there's Olivier Vernon out there running by himself, getting extra conditioning. And everybody started joking around, run, Olivier, run, like run, Forrest, run. What has he done? Now there is a group of about 12 or 13 guys on the defensive side of the ball, all doing extra conditioning, just like he is, as a leader of that group, now so that they can continue to play lights out and be in condition for this football season.
Fourth quarter.
That's
fourth quarter.
So real quick. So if you can educate me, once Coach McAdoo starts calling plays, what role does the offensive coordinator fall into as far as the chain of command goes?
Well, it's another set of eyes that he has a lot of confidence in. Number two, it's somebody that you can bounce things off of that can also watch the play clock, time of possession, all the different things that as a head coach, when you don't have the play selection, when you're worried about everything out on the field, Coach Sullivan's looking at everything and the script, he's going through everything, and you're getting views from above and below. So it gives you a lot of different things and that advantage, considering the fact that they are both on the same page.
Cool. And then my suggestion, you know, when you have the show on Mondays after the game, you know, it's really, really, really crazy to try to get through. Is there any way on Mondays we can keep the call for like two questions so that we get the maximum amount of calls in?
I will put it in the John Schmelk request box. John Schmelk, this is the Big Blue Kickoff Live is his baby. So I will let him know that that is what you are requesting.
Yeah, that would be great if, you know, because we had people like asking like 10 and 20 questions. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to get through. It's 7
right.
o'clock.
Right. I got you. I feel you. I feel it. The struggle's real in Denmark.
Yeah.
The struggle is real in Denmark. So,
all right. Thanks. Y'all have a good night.
All right.
You too.
So,
well, good day. See, he said, have a great night.
Right?
For us, it's only 12:52.
So, you know, Banksy's doing Mondays now.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. That's great.
I know. So, but I will put the request in. 201-939-4513. Let's go to, is it Jason? Right? Jason? Is that, yes? Line 4? All right, let's go.
Is it Joe?
It's Joe.
Joe!
Okay. Joe, yeah, Joe, you're up. Sorry, my computer.
Hey, that's fine.
My computer's crashing today.
That's okay. Great to talk to you, but I was very happy with the discipline of the team. Really, the offensive line coming together and moving the ball like that. And you got to give Dallas credit. They do have a great offensive line, and they're going to control the ball with everybody. So I just thought we played great, especially with our young rookies. You know, the new coaching staff like that, and McAdoo, he was great. He got in the face of our teammates, and he gave them credit when needed to, so that was great. And, Anita, I do agree with you. I would have loved to see Darkway in there, too, because he did it last year against Dallas. He could really hit that hole quick. He's faster than Elliott through that hole. And he's really a slasher. I really thought he would have did good there. I was just wondering, David, I don't know if you've noted or Anita noted, did we go any two tight ends in that game? Was Adams in there blocking at all?
Well, a little bit, but that's something, like I said, moving forward here, that's something that helps you out offensively, you know, scheme-wise, to control things at the line of scrimmage. And I don't know if you caught it earlier. I thought that was one way to integrate Will Beattie so that you have not only your five, but you can have your six best offensive linemen out on the field, and you can get that blocking at the point of attack instead of having a Larry Donnell at that position.
Joe, yeah, anything else before we let you go?
Who should I root for between Dallas and the Skins?
Wow, that's a great question.
Do we want to put Dallas in the hole? They haven't won a game in that, and they'll be wanting to bring Romo back quick, you know what I mean? Or something, bury them all together, you know? I don't know.
Well,
Joe,
both,
thank you for the phone call. You know what I would
say? 0-1, so.
I know, but I would say go for – root for Dallas, because I think the Pittsburgh game was a hiccup for them. I'm more worried about Washington than I am Dallas.
I would say Dallas, because at the end of the day, when you look at it and you start breaking it down in division, that's a team that you beat in case it comes down to tiebreakers.
See, you're the smart one.
I would say Dallas.
You're the smart one here.
I think I've done this before.
Dallas. Did you do that? We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Take us in that locker room. You know what? Coming off a win, big win, division rival, the Dallas Cowboys. Now you're home, first home game. Saints coming to town. Like what's the vibe right now in that locker room, David?
I mean, the vibe right now is this week is the most important week. I think when you start thinking about things like I just talked about, is when you're at home after a game watching Sunday night or Monday night football, watching two teams in the division play each other. That's when you start going through, okay, scenarios, we beat this team, we didn't beat this team, what would work down the road. That's because the number one goal is ensure yourself in the playoffs, win the division.
Interesting. All right, some final thoughts. Again, a different schedule here that I was just informed of by Dave on the show. And you're show with MSG, Press Conference Live.
2 p.m.
Is it 2 o'clock?
Yes.
So you can watch him and, of course, PDOT, Paul Dottino, and they will break down the press conference with Ben McAdoo,
yep.
And you could watch that. Also, players will be made available to the media, from what I understand, around 1:45 today. Those players, those interviews will be up on Giants.com, so stay tuned to Giants.com. And tomorrow, who's on Thursday? Do we know? Who's doing the show Thursday? Do we know? No.
Who's doing the show tomorrow?
Awkward silence.
Is it Lance? I think it's Lance and Schmelk.
Is it Lance and Schmelk tomorrow on Thursday? Is that what it is? Or is it Paul? I think it's Paul and Howard.
See, we're still trying to get used to this schedule.
I know what's going on.
We're all trying to see you, Justin.
I guarantee you that
Paul and Howard.
Paul and Howard, right?
Okay.
So Big Blue Kickoff Live is back with you tomorrow, high noon. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross will be coming your way. Have a fantastic afternoon, everybody.